I'm not afraid. Are you? The Watchman Speaks discusses biblical solutions to modern-day dilemmas. I'll tell you the truth, even if it's not what you want to hear. I am the old watchman, Ezekiel. I pray you listen. Welcome to The Watchman Speaks. I'm your host, Lonnie Richardson. Today I want to discuss some things that may sound foreign to most of you. I want to discuss the first of the month, the middle of the month, and the biblical feasts. Having said that, I assure you that I am not a Jew, nor am I a Jewish proselyte. I'm a redneck American Protestant who is more concerned with what God actually said than what some denominational leadership or church leader has to say. Yes, what God said and what leaders of man say are often vastly times different things. Yes, I said it. No, I don't make apologies for having said it. I spent 56 years living by what man told me about God, and I spent the last 4.5 years living by what God actually said in His Word, and believe it or not, life has been infinitesimally better from my perspective. I found that God is faithful to His Word. Man and His Word, not so much. Now at sunset on Wednesday, March 22, 2023, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh means new month, and Nisan is the name of the month being ushered in. Adar is the month being ushered out. Why is that important? Well, let me ask a question. Why is the church in America, for the most part, not experiencing the promises that God made in the Bible? The answer to that question is really very simple. We are not doing what the Bible instructs us to do. And before you jump on your high horse about salvation comes through the blood of Jesus, which I agree with 100%, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ as the resurrected Son of God. I'm talking about simple obedience to God's instructions. Salvation and obedience to God's word after the fact of salvation are two completely different things. Now, Rosh Chodesh is the first of the month that occurs every new moon. Incidentally, the words month and moon are both obtained from the same Hebrew root word. Biblical scripture sometimes refers to this event as new moon feasts or new moon festivals. It was a festive occasion. Why? It is a time to gather together to seek God. God placed the sun, moon, and stars and constellations into place, moving them to act in accordance with His time. The heavenly bodies are a massive timepiece. And I'm not talking about astrology, mind you. Astronomy and astrology are two entirely different things. Scripturally speaking, there is nothing innately evil about the existence or the movement of the heavenly bodies, namely the sun, moon, stars, or constellations. The devil perverted the interpretation of these movements of these heavenly bodies, and therein you have astrology. Consider Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Psalm 8, 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. Psalm 8, 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Job 9, 8 through 10. Who alone stretches out the heavens and tramples down the waves of the sea? Who makes the bear, that would be Ursus, Orion, and Pleiades, the chambers to the south? Who does great things unfathomable and wondrous works without number? Well, that's God's creation. The devil has taken such knowledge and perverted it into what is known as astrology. Christians have been so set against observing the heavenlies to avoid astrology, or have they, that they forget Genesis 1 verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens and separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. The heavenlies are a big clock in the sky. Notice that the word signs, which means a signal, an omen, or a warning. Note as well the word seasons. The Hebrew word for of seasons is moed, which is where the word moedim comes from. What is moedim? It's the feasts. The feasts are presented in the Bible as a means of navigating the three courts of the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The outer court was a place of redemption and cleansing. It was the place of the bronze altar and the laver. To approach God, you had to be cleansed and purified. This is what Jesus accomplished for us at the Passover. The inner court was a holy place and a place of celebration for God's provision. Here was the table of showbread, as well as the golden menorah, which is a picture of God's provision of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Between the inner court and the Holy of Holies was a barrier, a veil, a curtain. Only the high priest could enter through the veil once a year to make offering for the sins of a nation. When Jesus was crucified, the temple veil was torn, giving us direct access to God the Father through Jesus. After the Feast of Trumpets, there was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The high priest would enter to make an atonement for Israel every year. It is when Jesus entered the Holy of Holies, not made by the hands of the man, one time, to atone for the sins of mankind. The feasts are not merely Jewish holidays. They are God's holy days. As end-time believers in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the feasts have meaning for us as well. I'll say it again just so that there is no misunderstanding. One is not saved or receives salvation by remembering the feast or the seasons in God's Word. However, when we do remember those feasts and align ourselves with God's time in His seasons, I believe God the Father is pleased in that, and that brings me joy. The Passover happens every spring, on the 14th day of Nisan. It is when God's angel of death took the firstborn of Egypt, and Israel was brought out of Egypt. It is the same Passover season, on the exact same date, that Christ died on a cross. By the cleansing of His blood, we are redeemed and purified. We have entered into the outer courts. After Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leavening, or yeast, is an impurity that causes bread to rise. All products containing leavening was forbidden as a means of turning from one's sin and putting one's house in order. Israel was put on notice that they would leave Egypt at a moment's notice. And such was the case. Now consider the state of the unbelieving lost soul today. Jesus has come to offer the redemption and cleansing that would allow him to enter the outer courts. Without accepting his redeeming blood for cleansing, they cannot enter into the outer court. Upon the return of our Lord and Savior, it will be too late for any of that to happen. Then there is the Feast of First Fruits. The first fruits were the season when Israel entered into the promised land and ceased to eat manna and eat the fruit of the land. Jesus was the first fruits of this same season. He was God's own offering and sacrifice that we may have eternal life. Therefore, the first fruits that were offered at the beginning of each month at the new moon festivals were a reminder of the first fruits enjoyed by Israel in the promised land, as well as a reminder of the first fruits of salvation provided through Jesus' crucifixion. Now, in case some of you are screaming that the feasts are the law, and I know many of you have some abhorrence to the law, Passover was established before the law was handed down. Speaking of Passover, Exodus 12:24, "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever." How long is forever? And don't tell me it's just for Israel or the Jews. Remember, according to Romans 11:17-21, and it reads, "But if some of the branches are broken off," though that means Jews who did not believe Christ was the Messiah, "but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and became a partaker of them with the rich root of the olive tree. That means we became partakers with those Jews who did believe. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. In other words, Gentiles, do not be arrogant toward the Jews. Do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Ouch. And you'll say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. You're quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Now, if it were not for the Jewish root that we have, whom we call Jesus, and the fact that we are a wild olive branch grafted into the olive tree that is the Jewish believers, we wouldn't have a snowball chance in Hades of making it out of this world alive. Jewish believers are the branches of the tree that we are grafted into, and Jesus, a Jew, is the root. Jesus observed the feasts. Jesus wore a tallit, that what we call a Jewish prayer shawl. It didn't begin as a Jewish prayer shawl. The tallit, or little tent, was ordained by God before Jews existed, at a time when there was only Israel. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, we should become more like Christ. Well, Jesus observed the feasts, yet the feasts are neglected as being Jewish holidays, when in fact, they are God's holy days. The feasts are God's appointed times to meet with man, and the feast occurs during harvest times. You still don't believe me? Okay. Let's look at what God said. I'm going to give you what God said concerning the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits, specifically in what God said about the feast in general. So get a pencil and a piece of paper out and write some of these passages down. I don't have time to spoon feed it to you. Go and look these passages up and read them carefully. I'm just going to hit some high spots for right now. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, mentioned in Exodus 12, 1 through 13. Basically, this is the beginning of the first day of the first month of Abib, or Aviv. It begins God's ecclesiastical calendar. On the 10th day of the month, the sacrificial lamb was selected for each household. On the 14th day, the lamb was slaughtered, and instructions were given on how to prepare the lamb and eat the meal. Instructions were given on how to distribute the blood of the lamb on the doors of Israel's dwelling, for judgment was coming upon Egypt. In Exodus 12, verses 14 through 22, God gives instructions of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days there would be only unleavened bread. No leavening was to be found in any home. Exodus 13, 1 through 16, God ordains the firstborn of the people and their livestock to be his. It is the Feast of First Fruits. Also, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is reiterated in this passage. Now, I direct you to look to the book of Leviticus. Now, most folks dislike Leviticus because it's a book of laws, but let's see what God said. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times which you shall proclaim a holy convocation. My appointed times are these. That's Leviticus 23, verse 2. Leviticus 23, verse 4 through 6. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month, there is a Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall not eat leavened bread. Leviticus 23 continues to describe the Feast of First Fruits to be ordained and practiced when Israel enters into the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who would become known as Israel. It is when Joshua led Israel into the land the Feast of First Fruits was established. It goes on to say, from the first Sabbath of the first fruits, that they count 50 days, 7 Sabbaths, 7 weeks. This is the Feast of Weeks. The Jews call it Shavuot. We refer to it as Pentecost. Pentecost in Greek means 50 days. Along about verse 24 in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, God gives instruction for the Feast of Trumpets in the seventh month. Beginning in Leviticus chapter 26, God gave instructions for Yom Kippur, a day of atonement. By the time 23rd chapter of Leviticus is concluded, we have received instruction for the Feast of Tabernacles. Now in Exodus 23, verses 14 through 19, three feasts are mentioned: unleavened bread, first fruits, and tabernacles. However, I'm going to share verses 14 through 17 with you particularly, for they bear much weight. Exodus 23:14. Three times a year you shall celebrate the feast to me. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month of Aviv. For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. Also, you shall observe the feast of the harvest of first fruits from your labors, from what you sow in the field. Also the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. Now how do we, in the modern church, fit into all that? Well, we do, and we don't. Ephesians 2, verse 11, Paul writes, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." What's Paul saying? Paul is telling the Gentiles, and that would be me and most of you listening, that we were once separated from Christ. We were not part of the commonwealth of Israel, and that we were strangers or non-partakers of the covenants of promises that God made. We had no hope. But by the blood of Jesus, we are no longer separated by Christ. We are now part of the commonwealth of Israel. We are partakers of the covenants of promises, and we have an everlasting hope. Now, Paul himself refers to the feast. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you, in fact, are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feasts, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread, with sincerity and truth." Now, folks, whether you realize or not, that's a mouthful. What's Paul saying? He's speaking to the church at Corinth as though they have knowledge and understanding of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's saying, cast away the sin in your life and being new in Christ. Christ, the Passover Lamb of God, has been sacrificed, allowing us to do so. Therefore, celebrate the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not with a sin of malice or wickedness or maybe anti-Semitism, but with a circumcised heart, turning from sin, with purity, sincerity, and truth. That's how you celebrate. Now Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 23. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." Read that again. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Now Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth as though they have knowledge and understanding of the Feast of First Fruits. And the Feast of First Fruits, he lays out very clearly. Now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are in Christ at his coming. Paul is speaking, though they know about the first fruits. Now am I saying that we must acknowledge the feast in a strict Jewish fashion? No, I'm not prepared to say that at all. I am certain, however, that Christians should not bypass the Passover or the feast altogether, which is what most do. Would God be pleased if we did observe it? Perhaps. But if observing the feast is an undertaking that you feel that you have to do, I advise against it. That's what some of the Jews did. Celebrating and remembering the feast should be something we want to do. It should be something that we can't wait to do, that we look forward to do. Let me break this down like this. The Passover is a time of remembrance when God remembered his promises of his covenants in Exodus chapter 6, and that'd be sanctification, deliverance, redemption, joy, and inheritance, and brought the sons of Israel out of Egypt in chapter 12 using a sacrificial lamb as a meal and the blood of the lamb as protection against the killing of the firstborn or the firstfruits of Israel. On the same date, Jesus died on the sacrificial Lamb of God and began fulfilling the promises of Exodus chapter 6 again, only this time we, the Gentiles, got the benefit of the promises, covenant chapter 6 of Exodus. The difference being is that we don't get to inherit a land, but we have an inheritance and a kingdom when the Messiah returns. I'll celebrate that. The Feast of Unleavened Bread indicates that there was no time to allow the bread to rise. The impurities of leavening or yeast took too long. It was a symbol of impurities of life that need to be cleansed and removed. Remember, when God commanded them to eat unleavened bread, the law had not as yet been given. This is a means of cleansing, purifying, and setting one's house in order to protect the first fruits. I'll celebrate that. I'm partial to my first fruits. And I see to it that God get my first fruits joyfully. That brings us to the Feast of First Fruits. Cheryl and I pay tithes, and we do so gladly and joyfully. I'll get to that in a later episode. But the first of every month, we bring forth an additional offering for the first fruits of each month. It's what we call our first fruits offering. It is the first of our increase for each month. We pray over our offerings and our tithes, that God would use them and multiply them, as Jesus multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish when he fed 5,000. We give expecting miracles and blessings. Here's the catch. We do not ask for the miracles and blessings that we want. We're quite happy to receive the miracles and blessings that God chooses to provide. Just as the firstborn of Israel, and their children and their livestock were dedicated to the Lord. Jesus was the first fruits of God's ultimate redemptive plan. We celebrate that. What can I say? It works. God is faithful to his word. Therefore, we are faithful. I am the old watchman, Ezekiel. Holy days are coming soon. I'll dig deeper next week. But you? You've been warned. Well, that's all for now. I thank you for your time and participation. Our time together is precious to me. Please, come and visit me at theoldwatchman.com for show notes, articles, video content, book reviews, Bible study material reviews, and Bible study methods. It's my hope and prayer that you get to know me through this podcast. Through the website at theoldwatchman.com, I can get to know you. If you like the content, consider following The Old Watchman on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. See you next time. May nothing in your life be missing, nothing in your life be broken. Shalom.